Well, I stand before you weak and insufficient of myself. I've off my mind travels, I have many thoughts, and sometimes at night, you know, when you're awake, you think a lot of thoughts, and it's hard to express them, hard to put them into words, but we do with the Word of God, and I don't want to share my words this morning. As already mentioned, we need to hear what God would say unto us. We need to see Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and need to fall before Him and crown Him. He alone is worthy of all praise, and we hear a lot of truths this morning we can think about, and we shouldn't forget. We should remember what we've heard. And just one thought about the law and the prophets. If we don't see Christ exalted there, or at least see Him in those things, then it's all vain. It ministers death. And the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the Pharisees, you know, they knew the law, and yet they didn't see Christ in it. But Jesus and Philip and Paul and Peter, Stephen, they could take the Old Testament law, at least the Scriptures, I guess we should say, they could take the Scriptures and present Christ. And that's a challenge for us as we go through the Scriptures, whether the Old Testament or the New. If we don't see Christ, then all is vain. So it's more qualified than me. And I want to be careful. I'm just a man too, and I want the Word of God to speak to my heart. And it's the Word of God I want to hold high this morning. And I want to be careful not to use it deceitfully. You know, man can twist the Scriptures. We live in a day and age where there's all kinds of religion out there. And but many misuse. We can take the Word of God and use it to our own advantage. We can use it to an occasion of the flesh, that freedom in Christ, and even take the Word of God and justify many things. And we need the fear of God in our lives. We need a reverence for the Word of God and receive it humbly in our hearts and lives. And so I want to share that Word this morning, and I'm not sure exactly the theme. I had a few thoughts. I was thinking of the need of thinking of Christ's return. You know, we see signs around about us, and what's it do to us? Does it harden our hearts, or does it quicken our hearts? And we are in very dangerous times. We live in America here, where it's different than some parts of the world. You know, we've heard the gospel, it's all around about us, and yet we become immune to it. We don't really receive it as the Word of God, but just as the Word of men sometimes. And you know, we're fairly content. When things go well, we relax, we hardly need God. And the book of Daniel there, you know, he saw into the future. He was a man that was disciplined and put God first. He denied himself, and God revealed many secrets to him. And he saw in the end times there that spirit, that end time spirit, it would use peace or prosperity to destroy many. I think we see that in our American culture today. You know, we're fairly content. We don't see our need of crying out to God for mercy and deliverance. And we know at home we're reading right now in Judges, you know, and there's, we can look through the Old Testament and see over many generations how the people of God, you know, God spoke to them. He manifested Himself to them. He did miracles in their lives, just like these towns that were mentioned here in Matthew 11, Chorazin and Bethsaida, Tyre and Sidon. There's miracles. There was great, many wonderful works done. And that even the nations round about Israel feared God. And yet, so just within a few years, Israel became content and complacent again. And they forgot God. They started looking at the gods round about them. And they forgot that they were a peculiar people, a holy nation, called out to display God's glory and righteousness to the world round about them. And they soon wanted to become like the nations round about them. And time after time, God delivered them. And then they soon went back into bondage. God allowed them to come into bondage and to cause them to cry out to Him for deliverance. And it just seems there's a cycle there, time after time, through the judges and through the kings and prophets and that God dealt with them. And eventually, you know, they hardened their hearts, they drifted further away, and God had to destroy the nation of Israel and the kingdom of Judah and bring them into bondage and captivity. And yet, even in the midst of that judgment, there's a thread of mercy and grace. God preserved truth that when, after many quiet years, you know, when Jesus was born as a babe, when He came in the flesh, there was a few sincere seekers there, the shepherds and Simeon and Anna and a few others there that had the fear of God in their hearts and lives. There was still a spark of seeking after God's revelation to man. So, we live in a day when we basically are thankful and we enjoy life, and we're not crying out like some in some countries that for the Lord's coming. crying out for deliverance from this present world. Most of us, and it's not wrong in itself, but we want to live here in a few more years. We want to do a few more things and see more few more things. And we're fairly content and at ease here. And it even affects the church, you know. People, I've heard people say, oh, you know, we've heard these things before. There's been all these signs before. And just like the Bible says, the Lord delays his coming. And, you know, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And nothing's much different. But, you know, there's a real... We need to see God or hear God speak when he speaks through these events in the world. You know, things are getting worse in so many ways. And just this week, we don't take a newspaper. There's a free paper comes around. And I just saw in there in the obituaries a man that used to come to our place. And he liked to talk. And he knew how the conversation would always end up. And yet, it was usually him that brought it up. He said, oh, isn't the world a mess, you know. And then he'd say about something he saw on TV. And but he was quite strong. He did not believe in God. And he said to us different times, I wish I could believe. He says, I wish I had your faith. He says, all this cruelty going on in the world and all the things that are happening, there can't be a God. He just couldn't see God. And we visited him once or twice, but hadn't had much contact. And apparently he died now. I really had to think, you know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And is it just a challenge for us to have an awareness that we all must appear before God someday? And a little while ago I had that Bible study on Amos, and there's a verse there that stuck out to me. I mentioned a little bit. It says, to prepare to meet thy God. And the next verse is, O Israel. It's we see that sign sometimes on the road, a roadside sign. We think it's to the wicked, the heathen round about us, prepare to meet thy God. But it was God speaking to his people. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And we could mention Hessen. We could say, prepare to meet thy God, Hessen. Or we could put all of our names in there, us as individuals. And that's part of why we're here in life, is to prepare to meet God someday with the opportunity of bowing before him and the last song to crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And are we preparing for that? And so that's, I'm speaking more to my heart, my own heart, than to yours. I'm not looking down and judging or condemning, but I think we need encouragement again to refocus and our hearts be stirred up. And you know, last Sunday the message was about the headship order and the sovereignty of God. And I don't think we realize enough how great, how all-powerful, how all-loving, and yet all full of wrath and judgment our God is. And that we must appear before him someday. And yeah, it's a privilege we have this morning of gathering in his presence. And are we really aware of that? Do we have that fear of God that, you know, we see accounts in the scriptures where people fell on their faces. And, you know, those seraphims there in Isaiah's time, they had to cover their face. They covered their flesh because of the holiness of God. And we as mortal man, we need to reverence who God is. And yet, through Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before him. So it's a bit of a paradox there, and yet we dare not come in the flesh. We dare not take it lightly that we can come before God. There is a way, and we have the Word of God to show us that way, that new and living way that we have through the new covenant, through Jesus Christ now. And then Sunday night, a brother said, it's too bad the whole church wasn't here last Sunday night. It was unfortunate. There's very few here, but Brother Edward, I don't think he's even here this morning, but he had that Bible study, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And he brought out how, you know, so many say, oh, it's just by grace we're saved and that's all, then we're complete, you know. But he's bringing out the balance, how we'll be judged by our deeds and by our works. And faith is justified or proven by our works. Works accompany faith. So we must need that in the right order. And I think of that in my own heart again. We need to examine ourselves. Are we really fulfilling God's will and purpose for our lives? And so I guess that would be the message. The title this morning maybe is Prepare to Meet Thy God. And I think of the example of Noah. There's just one example in the Old Testament. Noah had a call of God. It says he found grace in the sight of God. And God showed him clearly. He didn't have scriptures. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do today. And he didn't have an assembly where they gathered. There wasn't a prophet. But he knew God's will. And he lived it out. It took a lifetime. And so today we need that balance, you know. We need to find grace in the sight of the Lord, and yet we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And the works need to accompany salvation. And so we think of prepare to meet thy God, we think of death, we think of judgment seat of Christ, we think of the end of all things, and we know that death will come to all of us if Christ doesn't return. But the times we're living in, I think we need to be aware that Jesus is coming, and are we really watching and waiting for that? You know, in John, the Epistle of John, it says, he that hath his hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And it keeps things in perspective. And we need to challenge our hearts. Are we really seeking those things which are above, or are we really looking for his return? And Hebrews 9:27, the word of God is sure, you know. We can evade it now, just like this man I was talking about. You know, he had a lot of hard things in life, and he mentioned that sometimes. His wife left him, she was not faithful, and he worked hard and took his money, and he believed hell was on earth. He says, he's gone through hell on earth. He says, he doesn't think there's any more hell for him. And yet the word of God is unchanging. And Hebrews 9:27 there, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is a judgment. And that's a fact. That's the word of God. We cannot get around. And we can evade it. We can disregard it today, but someday it'll be a reality. It's a challenge for all of us that we're preparing our hearts today for that judgment day when we stand before him. And in Matthew, Jesus talked about when all nations would come before him, and he'd separate them as sheep from the goats to give an account of, we must all give an account of the things done in the body, the deeds of the flesh, and many other scriptures we won't. Then, in 1 Peter 4:17, in Timothy, there's a verse there. It says about we can have our sins go beforehand, or we can wait. We can hide them now, but someday they'll be revealed, and then we'll be judged by those sins. But we're thankful that we have provisions that those we can have our sins dealt with today, and send them beforehand. And in 1 Peter 4:17, it says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" And Paul in Corinthians talks about the responsibility. With, I think Jonathan's going to go on, but talked about that headship order. And, you know, sometimes there's two extremes. The idea of authority is abused or misused. And yet, I believe, according to Scriptures, there's authority in the church. And our leaders, those that have spiritual oversight, are shepherds of the flock. You know, they got an awesome responsibility before God of warning and teaching and exhorting. And Paul, there in Corinthians, says the church's responsibility is to judge those that within and not without. So ultimately, judgment is up to God. And yet here in this life, it doesn't matter if in our homes, with children, or with their own lives, or in the church, there's a place that for judgment. And it doesn't necessarily mean a judgment of condemnation. Judgment is a choice, or how we deal with a matter, and making a wise choice. And the Old Testament talks a lot about judgment, and I think I have a couple of verses here. I don't see them, but in the Old Testament it says, "What doth the Lord require thee but to do justice?" I think that's in Malachi. Maybe I will look up that. A few verses like that. Thought I had it written down, but I think it's in Micah. But anyway, I can't quite repeat it, but what does the Lord require thee but to do justice and execute judgment? And that thought. And so that's a challenge that as individuals and with matters that we face, that we execute true judgment, godly judgment in these things, righteous judgment. And we need that in our lives, choices we make, direction we take. All right, Luke 21, I want to read the little portion there. The words of Jesus again, and he warned a lot about judgment and being aware and taking heed. And 21:34, this is Jesus speaking to us this morning through the word of God. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So he's warning us to take heed, to hearken to his word, And just like the seed, that parable in several places in Matthew 13 and I think in Luke 2, the seed, which is the Word of God, you know, it's scattered abroad, and sometimes it falls on a hard pathway, sometimes it falls on good soil and it germinates, and it comes forth. But then the one example was the cares of life come in and choke it, and it doesn't bear fruit. And we've all heard the Word of God, like we're discussing earlier this morning, but then what do we do with it? You know, sometimes we soon forget, we soon neglect. Neglect comes so easy upon us. And so the challenge that we take heed, and that these things, the cares of life and so on, the goals that the world seeks after, they don't have an influence on us. That we aren't overtaken by when judgment comes. It doesn't come on us as unawares. We were prepared for it. We were watchful because we are walking in light. We need not stumble in darkness. And Jesus coming is like a thief suddenly to those who aren't watching. But if we're prepared, if we're watching the signs and have our hearts right with Him, then we're ready for that time. And then that we're counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and say, we want to do it. Be prepared now that we can face Him with confidence and not in fear and trembling. 2 Peter 3, I always appreciate that chapter. It talks a lot about the end of the world. But a couple times in Peter, he talks about stirring up our minds. And in chapter 3 there, he begins, he writes his epistle, with which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And he talks about the last days there, but he stirred up their minds. And that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we gather week by week, to be encouraged, to be challenged, and have our minds stirred up. Otherwise, we soon forget. You know, when you mix up chocolate milk, you know, you let it sit for a little while, all of a sudden it's pure white milk, and there's just a bit of chocolate in the bottom, and it takes a constant stirring. So it is in our lives, you know. We've been called a leaky vessel sometimes. We soon forget what we hear, and we can be stirred and challenged sometimes by a message or by meetings or something, and then, you know, we soon fall back into our rut, our groove, and that's why we need to be reminded and re-reminded, and maybe even it's an old message again, but it stirs us up. And that's why I want to, just again this morning, just remind us of some of these things, just to reset our compass, as it were, and set our affection on things above, things that will matter for eternity, and turn behind us those things that are just for time, that will not matter. I guess, I mentioned before, what is our response when we hear the Word of God? You know, thinking of Proverbs, there's a lot in, I've mentioned this a few times before, there's a lot of value in Proverbs. I've heard of a suggestion that we read one proverb, a chapter of Proverbs every day for a month, and it'll help us in our relationships with others and with God. There's a lot of counsel and advice there. And in the first few chapters there, chapter 4 especially, he begins, "Hear you, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." And this is Solomon writing this, but we believe this is the inspired word of God too, and it's God speaking to us, that we take fast hold of instruction, that we value wisdom. It goes on through this chapter about seeking wisdom and not forsaking her and exalting her and valuing those things, seeking her for her as silver and gold, and then listening to instruction and incline our, again, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So we need that stirring up. We need that constant reminding to follow that straight, narrow pathway, to ponder the path of our feet, and to value those things that God values. And so may we be encouraged to hearken, to listen and consider those things that we hear from the Word of God. And it's not going to come easy. We are in a warfare. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that we're in a race and it takes effort. You know, we have to cast off those weights. those things that would hinder us from running with patience that race. And also there's different examples compared to a battle, a warfare that we're in. And we have to put on armor. We have to be as a soldier of the cross, a soldier of Jesus Christ, and contend for the faith and persevere. It's not just a graduating from a grade where you get a certificate and then all of a sudden you have your degree, you have your license to whatever it might be. It's an ongoing, lifelong process that we pursue after holiness and righteousness and pleasing God. So may we be stirred and reminded not to slack off, not to sit by the wayside, as it were, and watch the world go by, that we're in there contending for the faith, and we're striving with diligence and laboring. And I think the New Testament brings that out, where it takes diligence and an effort to pursue after righteousness and holiness, to endure to the end. And so may we listen to all the encouragement that we need to walk that straight and narrow pathway. Other verses about giving diligence and fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life. I say a lot of these verses, it speaks of effort that's required to pursue after God. And we need a vision, a spiritual vision. You know, if we're not aiming for anything, then we're not gonna get there. You know, if we don't prepare to meet our God, we don't put effort into it, then chances are we're not gonna make it. It's gonna take much effort, but we need a vision. And of course, that perfect man, Jesus Christ, he is our example. He is our pattern that we need to follow and strive after. In Ephesians there, that prayer of the Apostle Paul, he says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling. And so our spiritual eyes need to be open to see those things that are eternal, to see that inheritance that is waiting for God's children, for his elect. And that we see those things as Romans, I think it is, talks about the tribulations and the trials are but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but things which are not seen, which are eternal. So it's a challenge for us to have our spiritual eyes open to those things which the world cannot see. They can't understand. They can't understand those things, because it's only by faith. It's only revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So again, may we strive to see beyond the things of this time. And again, there's so many examples in Scripture. Just Lot and Abraham there, you know. Abraham, he valued the inheritance of God more than the temporal inheritance. But Lot, he just saw the prosperity of that fertile valley, all the good farmland that was there, and the potential close to markets, and I don't know what all, but he valued that, and he thought a wise choice. But it was because he didn't have spiritual eyesight. And thinking of Esau and Jacob there too, you know, Esau, he just wanted that next meal, just the comforts of life, just for a few moments. That only satisfied him for a day. It was like he hungry the next day. But he valued that. He took lightly his inheritance, the true values of life. But so may we be reminded again to make wise decisions, to value those things that we cannot see. It's only by faith we can strive for them. That's why we need to look into the Word of God and then see what God has for us. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. It's from Colossians there. It's a challenge for us to set your affection, to choose those things which are eternal, which are of true value. And then Jesus' words in Matthew there, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's a challenge how we apply that to our lives. You know, we are called to our responsibilities here, to be faithful in that which is least. And if we're not faithful in those little things, God can't take us on to greater responsibilities. And we read men in the Scriptures, how they had to be faithful as a shepherd, as a husbandman, or a little lowly job sometimes, even as a servant. And then God in his time, when he could trust them with those things, and he moved them on to greater responsibilities. So that's a challenge, to allow God to work in our hearts and lives. And he uses these earthly things, our day-to-day work, our sicknesses and accidents, things that come in our life that we don't plan on. He uses them as stepping stones to teach us lessons. So it's good to be faithful and to look beyond these things, to those things which are eternal. Jesus talked about those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that's something we need to long after, to desire the true riches, and even to hunger and thirst after them. You know, Jesus was an example. He says his meat was to do the will of his Father, and that's a challenge to us. What delights us? What do we find satisfaction in it? Are we hungry and thirsting after the favor of God, the blessing of God in our lives, more than the favor of man and comforts of life? Again, in the Old Testament, Moses, he was a man Just another example of chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He denied himself the opportunity of being a king, being a high up in authority and all the comforts that he could have had there. But he went out, just like Abraham, homeless, almost as it were. He wandered in the desert, and for years he was almost a nobody there, just wandering in the shepherd before God called him to his important calling. 2 Corinthians 7. We have a part to do. It's a balance. It's a challenge to find a scriptural balance there. You know, there's the two extremes of just doing nothing, letting God do everything for us. And some would take it that extreme. There's nothing we can do. You know, God is a sovereign God, and He predestinates us, and He does what He wants. And yet, we have a part to play too. We must seek Him. We must open our hearts to receive Him. And thinking of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, there's things that we need to do in this life to please God and to put on and put off and to seek after Him with our whole heart. And in 2 Corinthians 7, he says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So it's, as we go through this life, you know, the few short years that we're here, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We need to grow more into His image of Jesus Christ, perfecting holiness. It's a, some call it sanctification. It's a progressive. It's an ongoing thing. And the verses before this in chapter 7, it talks about that we can't be unequally yoked together. And we know this is the downfall with Israel. They start looking at the gods around about them. And in verse 17 of chapter 6, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So if we want to perfect holiness in the fear of God there in verse 1, we need to cleanse ourselves, and part of that is separating ourselves unto God and not touching the unclean thing. And we can, those things that are abomination to God, that the spirit of it, sometimes it is becomes practical too, and so we need to discern that. But we need to separate ourselves. If the children of Israel, they start comparing themselves and seeing the advantages that the nations had round about them, and it's soon they start to worship the same gods that the nations round about them. And so that's a challenge, to keep ourselves separate from the world, that we are pure and holy in God's sight, that our heart, our affection are things above, that we're not entangled with these earthly things that would defile and bring us down. So we have a part to play to put off and put on and to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts with all diligence, going back to Proverbs. And over in Deuteronomy again, it's again, we have a part to play. We're not predestined. And in Deuteronomy 11, it's back the time of Moses. And maybe we'll start at 16 there. Moses was speaking there, and he says, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, that ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath shall be kindled against you, and he shall shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." And he says, "Therefore lay up these words these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them unto your children, speaking them continually." It goes on. And then verse 22, "If ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you." And these promises he gives them. And then verse 26, it's a verse I want to come to. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods that ye have not known." So Israel there was a physical nation that offered actual sacrifices to God. They were in a literal warfare. They had a fight against their enemies. Today we are a spiritual people. We offer spiritual sacrifices. And we are in a spiritual warfare. But that choice of whether we want God's blessing or God's curse upon our lives, that principle still holds true today. And it's a choice we all have as individuals. And, you know, like the study here this morning, we are aware of the ways of God. We've heard, we've seen His hand in our lives. We've seen miracles and great things He's done. And so even today in nature, you know, God speaks through storms and disaster and catastrophes. He speaks in many ways. And are we hearing what He speaks? Do we reverence and fear His word? And do we allow these things to draw us closer to Him? Are they stepping stones or are they stumbling block? A lot of these things that come into our lives, to one person, they harden them, they drive them further away from God, they don't understand, they don't want to understand, so it hardens their heart, and then God continues to harden their heart if they take the first few steps. Or we can open our hearts to hear what God would speak to us through these things, and ask Him what He's trying to teach us. Just submit and surrender, that He works all things out for good, even though we don't understand. And even though some things might seem hard today, they can be a blessing. God can turn those sorrows into joy and true blessing. So it's a choice we all have, whether we want God's blessing in our lives or God's curse. And God is no respecter of man. Now, sometimes it almost seems that God favors some more than others. God is just in His judgment, and God is no respecter of persons. He's fair, and He knows what we're able to bear. Some people, you wonder why they call to bear much more. We just have a family last night that they've lost 3 children, and you wonder why so much comes to one family. But and other people, you know, it seems everything goes well, and we look at things through a glass dimly, you know, we don't see beyond. And those things can be precious to those that allow Him to, as they submit to God's moving, working in their hearts and lives. And it seems He trusts, He can use some people, draw them closer to Him. He's a purpose in these things. So do we yield to Him? Do we allow Him to work for His good, for His glory in our hearts and lives? And Joshua 24, there's a few years later. Joshua, he was a type of Christ. He led the children of Israel into the promised land, and he brought great victories to them. You know, and says there was not a man who could stand before Joshua. He was a very courageous man. And again, he was a man that was available to be used of God. But in the beginning of his life, he was challenged to be strong and good courage, not to, as it were, lean on his own understanding, but to follow God. And he honored God, and God blessed him and used him. But at the end of his life, in chapter 24, verse 14, he's speaking, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And well, we know how the people there, they're so convinced they were going to serve God. They wanted to. And yet it just shows the depravity of man's heart, how they soon fell away. And so that's why we need to be stirred and re-stirred and reminded and challenged again. And you know, we can make decisions to serve God. "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But you know, we're prone to drift, to let those things slip. And so I need to, again, refocus. And that's what I want to challenge the body here this morning, is to constantly choose and re-choose the path of holiness and righteousness. That straight, narrow path, the proven path, the way of Jesus. That way that might be misunderstood by many. It's a way that leads to righteousness and holiness. And then, just in closing, 2 Timothy 3:17 again. There's a lot in that chapter, but he began there. I use that verse about stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then the last few verses, he talks about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night, and how we need to be looking and hastening for that coming of the day of God, and being diligent that we're found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." So God is able to preserve us and to keep us if we do our part in growing in Him, if we're aware and taking heed to the dangers that we all face. You know, our enemy is so subtle in these last days. He even comes as an angel of light. So we need to stand together. We need to be one mind, stand as one man with one mind, unified against our enemy, and encourage and exhort one another, and that we don't fall. You know, it's sad when we look at scriptures and see the many who fell. They began right, but they fell away and to destruction. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, we're all prone to fall. We dare not trust in our own strength. We dare not glory in what we have. You know, we have nothing but the grace of God to depend on. And so may we again be challenged that to keep our eyes on Jesus, to grow in grace and a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to have affection on things above, to seek Him with our whole heart, to value those things. And so I just trust that we'll be challenged that key verse, prepare to meet thy God. It's an ongoing thing. It's a lifelong process of preparing to meet our God. So while we have opportunity, let us use the times that we have, even today, in preparation and growing in Him, and seeking Him. So may God bless His Word. I trust that we hear His Word, not my words, and that we'll meditate upon those things, and that He'll give us the wisdom, the courage to be what we ought to be vessels, to be just an instrument in His hand in these dark times that we live in.